verses 12 to 18, and it's found on page 1179 in the Bibles. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, shining as stars. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. Please do keep that passage we read open. If you closed it, is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 18 on page 1179. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is a fully packed and well-crafted phrase, isn't it, that we see in our passage at the end of verse 12. Here is a striking command, which I think is at the heart of Paul's message to Christians at Philippi. And we'll dig it this morning to spend our time together thinking and mining truths from this phrase. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of the term workout. For me, I think of gym. You know how rigorous and how hard work you can put when you go to gym? During that exercising and sweating, and it's all hard work. I'm not keen myself with the gym. I even don't need to do a lot of gym myself. But I have friends who are very keen in the gym, and they tell me that it's hard work. It's not easy to work out. If you like, workout is hard work. It involves sweating. It involves pushing our bodies into extreme conditions. But the results are usually good. We can be able to work after exercising well. I wonder whether this is your experience as a Christian. I don't know about your experience, but I find myself living out for Jesus daily is not easy. At times, I'm tempted to want to hide my identity of being a Christian. At times, I'm tempted to not want to live out for Jesus every day in school or at workplace. At times, it's not easy to keep living for Jesus every day, including with my friends and family members. Paul, in these verses that we have read and have been looking at in the last several weeks, understands that salvation and living out for salvation is not easy. But he says it's something worth doing. I hope you see here, Paul doesn't say, work for your salvation, but rather he says, work out your salvation. Paul doesn't call Christians at Philippi to work hard to be saved, but rather they are saved, but now they need to work out their salvation. They have the salvation, they need to live it out. Paul doesn't call them to something that himself has not done or is not doing. As we have already seen, and I hope we have seen this, Paul himself is in prison. He's working out his salvation there, even in chains. No wonder he can call Christians and his partners in the gospel at Philippi to do the same, to continue working out their salvation with fear and trembling. This call of Paul to Emmanuel Church Philippi extends to us today here at Emmanuel Church, Tolworth. All Christians, me and you, need to work out our salvation. Paul calls these Christians to continue living lives that are worthy of the gospel, if you like, to do the hard work of living the gospel out. Look again with me in verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul here calls Christians at Philippi to do what Christians all over the world and of all ages are to do, to work out their salvation. Does it strike you how they are going to work it out? It's with fear and trembling. One of the places in the Bible where these two words, fear and trembling, come together is in Exodus at Mount Sinai, as you can see. This was when the Lord descended to meet the people of Israel, who he had already rescued and saved from Egypt. And we are told that when the Lord descended in Mount Sinai, the mountain shook and it was filled with smoke. And how do people respond? In fear and in trembling. These two words that Paul uses in this phrase. With that in mind, then it's striking that Paul calls us, me and you, to continue working out our salvation the same way, with fear and with trembling. We do this knowing so well that the day of Christ is near. You can see that phrase at the end of verse 17. Thus, the response for us is to work out, to continue living for the Lord Jesus with fear and trembling, to keep obeying him even when that is not easy. To help us think this command, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we'll try to answer three questions. When do we as Christians need to do this? Why do we need to work it out? And how does this look like? So first, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When? Paul, in this passage, starts by commending Christians at Philippi for their obedience. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you see how this verse starts with a therefore? I told you I'm a Bible student and at Cornhill, and we are always encouraged at Cornhill to read well the Bible well when we meet the linking words in the Bible. And thus, when we meet a word like therefore, it's good for us to ask, what is therefore there for? In this case, Paul wants us to think of what he has just said before. I think we saw that last week. He had given an example of Christ Jesus in the poem from verse 6. And then here he says that Jesus obeyed and he was glorified. And with that in mind, you believers at Philippi need to obey as you look forward to the day of Christ, when you too will be glorified. Do that as you have been doing when I was with you, but now much more when I'm absent. In chapter 1, we saw Paul was not sure whether he will be released from the prison. But with or without Paul, believers at Philippi were called to obey. They were called to work out their salvation always. Do it all the time. Obey this command always. Continue to live for Christ, even in my absence. When I was growing up, my mom would leave me at home. And every time she was going away, she would tell me, "Ken, I've gone to the market, and so you behave even when I'm not here." I always didn't obey. And I would sometimes mess around. But Paul here calls Christians at Philippi to something that they need to do even when he's not there. Do not misbehave even when I'm away. As you have obeyed when I was there, even now in my absence, behave. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do likewise. Obey when I'm absent. This meant they had to continue what we saw in chapter 1, verse 27. I hope you can look at that verse in page 1179. He tells them, whatever happens, whether I come out of the prison or I don't come out of the prison, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Christians at Philippi had to continue working out their salvation, whether Paul is present or whether Paul is absent. They had to continue doing that, always. Paul did acknowledge that working out is not easy, it's hard work. It was not easy for him, himself. He ended up being in prison. And we too, here at Emmanuel Church, know that it's not easy to stand for the Lord Jesus in our culture, which is becoming more and more hostile to Christian faith. Studying for the Lord Jesus at workplace, or at school, or at home, can sometimes be very hard. Fighting sin and the temptations of this world, of the flesh, and of the devil, is not always easy. But Paul calls all Christians, me and you, to continue working out our salvation. Paul doesn't add this command here. He doesn't just say that. He continues to tell believers at Philippi why they need to keep doing it. What is the incentive for you to keep working out your salvation? Which is an encouragement for Christians, for me and for you, that we do not work out our salvation alone. Which takes us to the second question Paul seems to answer in verse 13. Why do Christians at Philippi need to continue working out their salvation with fear and trembling? The answer, we see that in verse 13. They need to keep doing that because they are not doing that alone. Why do they need to do it? For God is working in them. Look again with me in verse 12 and 13. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Believers at Philippi had to work out their salvation because God was working in them. Working out salvation is hard. That can mean going to prison, as Paul has gone to prison. That can mean being persecuted. That can mean being called names by those in our culture who don't like us telling them about the Lord Jesus. But we have to keep doing it because we are not left alone. We're not just left alone to do it. Here is the key reason why Christians need to keep working out their salvation, studying for the Lord Jesus. It's because God is working in them. God is working in us. It's not all left to us. It's not a long time ago when I learned to ride a cycle. I learned to cycle just recently. And a friend of mine who was helping me how to balance well, because every time I tried to cycle, I wouldn't be able to balance. He would hold the bike And then he would tell me to pedal, and then I'll start pedaling. And then he would hold the bike and keep running with me. But at times, he would release the bike and tell me, "You are on your own, mate." And is it not tempting to think that God tells us, "You are on your own, mate," even in our Christian faith? But that is not the case. When you continue working out your salvation in school, or at workplace, or even at home, with your friends and with your neighbors, you are not doing it alone. This is the encouragement that Paul tells Christians at Philippi. You are not doing it alone. Look again with me at verse 13. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." No wonder Paul, in chapter 1, verse 6, he tells them that he's confident that God who began the good work in them, in their lives, in these Christians, the God who called them to salvation, will complete what he started until the day of Christ Jesus. We work because God is working in us. If you like, these are like two sides of the same coin. God is working, I am working. I am working, God is working. The reason why we need to keep working in our salvation, even when it's hard to do that, is because God is working in us. It is worth noting here that Paul doesn't say, "Work for your salvation," but rather, "Work out your salvation." We need to get this right, because some people have misread this to mean that me and you need to work out, to work for our salvation. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that salvation is through faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. Our working hard will not give us salvation. But Paul calls Christians, calls me and you, to work out our salvation, to live out the salvation that we have already received. Work out your salvation because you already have the salvation. So God is working and I am working. That then means I don't just need to sit on a chair and relax and say it's all done by Jesus, therefore I can keep on sinning. Paul says, by no means. You are working, and God is working. God is at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. When you care for the sick people in our church family, when you help the elderly, when you grieve with those who are grieving, when you help the needy, when you do missions, as we have just heard, when you share the gospel with many people, in your workplace or at home. These are all signs that God is working in you to will and to act. He is at work, and we are at work as well. Work out your salvation, for God is working in you. He is enabling us to do that. He is the one who gives us the courage and the confidence to do that. But how does this look like? In verses 14 to 18, Paul mentions three things on how does this working out your salvation looks like. If you like, these are the practical applications that Paul gives to Christians at Philippi on how working out their salvation looks like. First, in verse 14, he tells them that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and that means you won't complain or argue, verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. They won't be like the children of Israel, who after God had saved them from Egypt, we are told that when they went to the wilderness, they complained and argued with Moses. In fact, some of the Bible translations, they translate that complaining to grumbling. We wish we were in Egypt. We were better off when we were in Egypt. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means do not complain or argue. We are told that God got angry with that generation for their complaining and grumbling. And thus, Paul wants these friends, this church at Philippi, this church that he started, he wants Christians here not to make the same mistake that Israel generation made. You lot, don't be like that lot. Paul here in verse 14, he says, the reason you need to not grumble or complain is because you are living out for Jesus in a generation that's crooked, in a generation that doesn't want to be told about God, in a generation that's more hostile with the gospel message. People who are content with what God has done for them, he has saved them. They are thus called to live lives that are worthy of the gospel. I wonder, how are we doing in this? Are our lives marked by gratitude for what God has done for me and for you in Jesus? Or do we have an attitude of complaining and arguing? How are we living out to be blameless and pure children of God? How are we living that every day? Even in those little things, in our culture and in our workplace, how are we living this out? Secondly, the Christians need to shine as stars. One of the things that I really enjoy when I'm home in Kenya is to take a walk at night and then look at the sky, the stars, when there's no crowds and it's not raining. The stars are spectacular to see them. The view makes you want to think more of the God who created the whole universe, and it's good to see that. I tried to do that this week as I was thinking of this passage, but I couldn't see any. I don't know why I couldn't see stars here in the UK. But seeing stars in the sky shine, it's spectacular because there are many, there are millions of them. And the same thing, Christians need to continue working out their salvation with fear and trembling as they live in the midst of a crooked generation. You have one star here who is living for the Lord Jesus. You have another star there at workplace who is living for the Lord Jesus. You have another one star in Wibbledon living for the Lord Jesus. You have one in Central London, another star shining out the light of Jesus in different places that the Lord has called us. As you work as a teacher, as you work in that different job that God has given you, as you live at home with your family, you have to shine, make that spectacular view. You do that as you live in a crooked generation, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. The way to shine in a crooked and hostile world means holding out the word of life, which is the third thing Paul tells them. Look again with me in verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. The reason you live out for the Lord Jesus is because you want people to know the word. They want people to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And as you do that, this is what Paul is looking forward to. He wants to boast of Christians at Philippi who have worked out their salvation with fear and trembling. He wants to boast that he did not labor in vain. One of the most encouraging things for ministers is to see Christians in their churches live out for the Lord Jesus. I don't know how we are doing that here, but the reminder in these verses is continue to work out your salvation living out, holding out the word of God, preaching the gospel, living it out in your day-to-day activities and in your day-to-day work. And the reason you do this is so that your minister, the minister of the gospel, will boast of you in the day of Christ. Nothing else will bring an encouragement to the minister of the gospel as hearing us not only hear the word of God, but do it, being doers, not just hearers of the word. All Paul wanted for Christians at Philippi, even at the point of him being executed, is to see them living out the gospel so that he can boast of them in the day of Christ. In fact, it's a mutual boast. They boast, Paul will boast of them, and they will boast of Paul who have told them of this gospel of the Lord Jesus. As we finish, me and you here at Emmanuel Tolo are now called to continue working out our salvation. We are called to live out for the Lord Jesus now and always. We are called to look forward to the day of Christ. And we do that with confidence that we are not working alone, for God is working in us. And we do that as we live out the gospel every day. We will shun from complaining and arguing. We will want to be stars and shine in a crooked generation. And we'll do that by holding out the word of the gospel. May the Lord help us to continue working out our salvation, even in those moments when we are tempted not to. May you and me be encouraged this morning by these verses to continue working out our salvation, for God is working in us. Let's pray. Lord, we want to acknowledge that so many times we fail to obey this command. We are tempted so many times to want to not live out for the gospel. We want to pray so much that you'd please, through your word and through your spirit, would help us this morning to want to continue working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you for the encouragement that we are not doing this alone. Thank you for the reminder that you are working in us. We pray that in those trying and hard moments, you would please remind us again that you are at work in us. And we praise you for so many different ways we see you working in us. We praise you for so many times when we have helped us to shun away from sin. And we pray that you'd please help us today and the days to come to want to live for the Lord Jesus. For all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.